in the Stoney and Wonjo Invitational. We're sorry. That's all I can do to help.
Yeah,
make up.
We didn't have a first round, or what do they call it, a play-in.
There was no play-in. It was controversial. You could have took the Mr. Danger. You could have had that spot because it was eliminated early. I think you should have been in there. 4:03 to be exact. You're listening to the Valenti Show with Rico. Mike is off. He's off watching the ponies. It's always a good day. You want to know why? Because not only is the sun shining, not only is the weather perfect, but can you say anything bad about the Tigers when you have a bullpen day shutout? But wait, there's more. If you buy now, you get Javi Baez as the hero, hitting a 3-run home run today. Yes, it is that type of day today, folks. I don't know what else to say. But, yeah, the Tigers win, and they are now 6-4, still thinking the last 10 games, getting ready to start one of the longest homesteads, the longest one at Comerica Park for the season, starting tomorrow. Tigers win. They defeat the Cleveland Indians. Look, we got a couple things we want to talk about today. I'm going to be here with you until 6 o'clock. But I do want to just ask this Tigers topic. What is Scott Harris going to do? What is Scott Harris's style? Because I don't know. Because we're all speculating. I think it's too late for the Tigers to be buyers. I really do. It's nice that they started winning in the last few weeks. But when you really look at it, they're still about 5.5 games out of the final wild card spot. They got a lot of teams that they're going to have to leapfrog. I don't know if they'll be able to get that done. I think it's a little too little, too late. So now it puts you in the camp of, do you just hold and ride this thing out until the wheels fall off, or do you start selling off pieces? I think if you start selling off pieces, you're waving the white flag and you're willing to write this season off. And I don't think a lot of Tiger fans want to hear that. 248-539-9797. I just kind of want to know what is his style. Here's the thing. Brad Holmes swings for the fences. He goes, he's bold moves, and we've seen it happen. Kenny, we've talked about it. Steve Yzerman, he moves in silence. It's when you don't hear about what he's doing is when you start thinking he's cooking. I don't know what Scott Harris's style is, except for to me, he's Jack, and he keeps getting magic beans. And these beans don't turn into anything. I mean, his offseason signings are just been kind of meh. Okay. You know, Flaherty, you got him, but you only got him for a 1-year deal. So you got to deal him, or you got to try to re-sign him. You haven't done anything yet. We're about 5 days away from the trade deadline. But, you know, Kenta Maeda, Gio Urshela, Chafin, okay. You know, I don't see anything. Which leads me to think, and I've said it before, I think they stand pat. I don't think they make a move. I don't think they make a trade, because if I had to describe Scott Harris in one word as a president, I would say it's timid. He doesn't want to make that bold move. He doesn't want to start the clock. He does, because once you make that move, the clock has started. Don't believe me, different sport, but Brad Holmes made bold moves. Brad Holmes started the clock. Lions are showing you, yeah, we know our window is now, and they're playing like it. When you don't make the big move, you keep kicking the can, you don't start the clock, and the next thing you know, it's been a few years, and you're just muddled in mediocrity. You're not going anywhere. I don't see him making a move. Does he make that move? Does he stand pat? Because I don't think he buys. I think it's too late for buying. Because at this point, as silly as it sounds, if you were going to buy, at first I'm thinking, okay, you need to go out there and buy some bats. But actually, the way your pitching staff is falling apart, you would actually need to go out there and pick up some pitchers, which means you would have to get rid of some of your prospects. We know that Scott values all of these young guys like they are gold. They are platinum. So that being said, I think he stands pat. But 248-539-9797. We're coming down to the home stretch of the trade deadline, 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Do they stand pat? Do they just roll the dice with what they have? Or do you think they actually make a move and get rid of a piece or two or maybe a bunch? But looking at Scott Harris's history, I think anybody who's expecting any type of bold move, man, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be doing this on Tuesday at 6:01 because I don't think you're going to get what you want. That's just how I see it. 248-539-9797. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I truly am baffled, and I just don't know with Scott Harris. Last year's trade deadline, I think, has scarred me a lot when he thought he had a deal for E-Rod.
No, this is he fumbled.
Okay.
He fumbled at the one-yard line. It was done.
Yeah, it was.
He was there.
It was.
The deal, like, and yeah, okay.
It got worse when the offseason gets here and E-Rod goes to the West Coast. And it's like, I thought he didn't want to go to the West Coast. You couldn't get anything because he opted out of the, or use his trade, no trade clause to not go to the West Coast. So that kind of has scarred me. So I don't believe he's going to make any deals, any bold moves. I just don't trust him.
David, I don't either. That's why I said I think they stand pat. I know if it were me, I would, but the offseason, I gave him the offseason. Okay, show me what you got. Miggy's contract falls off. You got money. You could go out there. And you didn't have to be irresponsible. You didn't have to be a drunken sailor. You didn't have to go out there and just start buying up all these players. But you could have gone out there and you could have gotten players. We've already named the players all year long, you know. But you didn't. You went super cheap. And you just kind of brought in, guys, which is why you got a team. And here's where we are right now. That was strike two for me. Because, yeah, you're right. The E-Rod thing, like, how did you not talk to everybody in his camp? And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, every party involved.
Why didn't you talk to every party in his camp? Because there was one party that was clearly not on board with this, but we didn't get the approval from that party. And then you ended up with egg on your face. You ended up with nothing. And then you tried to spin it like, oh, we're going to make that push for the end of the year. And it's, everybody knew it wasn't real.
And to be fair, you have always been the one to say this. You give them until the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And that's fair. That's only fair to do that.
The trade deadline is going to be the third strike for me.
And so what's going on with me is we're getting closer and inching closer to that deadline. And I get it. Maybe things, you know, heat up as the weekend comes by because the deadline's Tuesday. But I just don't see it. I don't trust it right now.
Right now, if you're going to make a move, it's Flaherty. Because he's your E-Rod. He's the 2024 E-Rod. He's going to be gone. Expiring deal. You have to get something for him. If you don't, what you're telling me is, you believe in this team. You think they're going to make a push, and we'll have to wait and see. But that means that 2 years in a row, you fail to capitalize on a deal that you know a player's probably not going to come back. Either that or, you know what, surprise us all and give him a new deal. Extend it. Come up with an extension. Do something. But as the days get closer and closer, my faith in Scott Harris just it gets lesser and lesser because I don't see him doing anything. I see a man who's afraid to make a move. I see a man who's afraid to hit the clock and say, okay, you know what? We're going to start winning now. We're going to start being contenders now. Now, you know, because everything that the man says is kicking the can. We'll start spending once the core is set. It's subtitles. I'm not ready to do anything just yet. We're going to hold off. We're going to wait. We're going to wait. I'm waiting for them to start winning now. 248-539-9797. Go ahead, Dave.
And you just said it because I want people to understand this. It is, for the deadline, all about Flaherty. We've talked, Scoobal, while we probably want mostly him done, him dealt so that the Tigers can get pieces in that lineup. It's not a necessity at the deadline. It's not a necessity to trade Scoobal at the deadline. What has to happen is Jack Flaherty has to be dealt.
Yeah, Flaherty.
That has to happen.
Flaherty has to happen. Scoobal, I think you can reset this team.
Correct.
Right. Flaherty, man, he's a luxury you can't afford to hold on to, because you're going to get nothing from him except for some conditional pick. Get something. Get a player. Try to get an everyday bat. Get something in return. Because newsflash, you're not going to make the playoffs this year. 248-539-9797. Tigers, stand pat. Are they going to sell? We'll get to your phone calls. We'll get to your ticket text next. 97.1. Tigers, winners today over Cleveland, 3-0. Bullpen day gets a shutout. But wait, Javi Baez. Yes, Javi, when you hit your second home run of the year, you are Javi, not Harvey. No, don't play that, David. He's Javi today. He is the hero of the day. He hit his second home run. 3-run shot. Tigers win. But this, well, he was in Cleveland hitting home run today. They win. They're still a ways away from that final wild card spot. Trade deadline is coming up. I asked the question, what is Scott Harris going to do? Because to me, in my opinion, Scott appears to be timid. He's afraid to make that first major move, that first thing. I don't know if he's gun shy from it blowing up in his face last year with the E-Rod situation. Didn't do anything in the offseason. I'm giving him to this trade deadline before I really make a judgment on him. But it just seems like there is nothing being done. The only thing, if you take the man at his word, they're not going to start adding real pieces to this team and spending money until the core is ready. Core's not ready. Core won't be ready this year. I don't know if the core is going to be completely ready next year. That's why I've been a big fan of, okay, if you're all about the core, then you trade Scooble. That was my thing. I'm not trying to get rid of your best player, Detroit. What I'm saying is Scooble will get you a haul of players. If you can get 4 to 5 players, because I think you can. I think Scooble is enough for a bidding war. If 2 of those players, everyday players, can turn out to be something for you, then you've won that trade. That's what I'm looking at. But right now, I don't know. You have one piece, really, that I think that you could sell off. That's Jack Flaherty. Pitcher, teams, he's on a one-year deal. 1 year, $14 million. Unfortunately, you signed the wrong person to a 2-year deal in Kenta Maeda. But Flaherty can get you back something. And that's really the name that I'm looking to see what happens at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Is he still a Tiger, or did you find a way to move him and bring in some pieces? I mean, I don't know. Al Avila, he tried to make trades. He just was bad at it. But at least he tried. I mean, if you want to give out the orange slices and sippy cup award, he tried, but he failed. When he called, teams were like, we taking Al's call because we're about to get paid. 248-539-9797. Tigers, stand pat, or do they make a deal and they trade off some pieces come Tuesday? Fresh off of this victory today, they're winning. I can't say bye. I can't add that because I think it's too little, too late. You're not going to go out there and you're not going to add pieces because this team values their young core players, the guys in the minors. I don't think that they want to give them away. And I think common sense kicks in. We're not that close to give away a player. So we'll see what happens. David, a couple ticket texts before we get to the phone call.
Rico, Javi Baez is back to his prime. Keep Scooble. We don't need Holiday. LOL. Hunter in Brighton. Baez is so bad. I thought it was a typo when I saw the update at work.
No, 3-run shot. It was all him. So, yeah. 248-539-9797. Let's go to the phone lines. Kevin, you're on 97.1. And
okay. All right, Kevin.
You put Kevin back on hold. I don't even know what that was.
I got more text here for you. Moving Flaherty won't make us better this year or next. So why do it?
I think moving Flaherty would help us. I think moving Flaherty, because as the trade deadline approaches, competitive teams start getting desperate. especially as the clock gets closer and closer to 6 p.m., there's probably about 6 to 8 teams that really have a legitimate shot at the World Series. And it's almost a chess game, because not only do you want to get better, but you don't want your opponent to get better. So maybe I just grab this guy so that I don't have to face him in the playoffs. I don't have to see him in the World Series. I don't want to see him in an Orioles uniform. I don't want to see him in a Dodgers uniform. So let me go after them. Boy. And we'll give up some minor league, some top minor league prospects in order to get this guy, even though he's a rental player, because you're going all in. So I do think that if Scott Harris is a shrewd president and he walks in there, he can flip Flaherty into something that's worthwhile. But this timidness that I'm seeing, that's got to go away. You got to walk in there and you got to be bold, and you have to say, I want this. This is what I'm demanding, and this is what's out there. Either that, or how about this? Just resign the man. But I'm getting nothing, and that's where the frustration kicks in. Nothing, because you're not hearing anything. You're not seeing anything. I don't know what his style is. Like I said, Holmes, man, you know, Holmes, if he sees something, he goes out and buys it, and he's under the impression if you have to ask what the price is, you can't afford it. He just buys it. Eiserman, silence. He knows what he wants, and he's just going to snipe it and get it. Harris, you got to do something, because right now you fumbled twice. I've gotten nothing. You've had opportunities to improve this team, and it's just not happening. That's the frustrating thing about it, David.
Scott Harris seems like a head assistant, not a leader, and that is a problem. Yeah, that would be a problem if you believe that. You're getting at least a comp pick for Flaherty, so if we don't trade him, we at least get that. That's that comp pick at the end of the first round.
So great. We get another high schooler that we'll see in 4 years. Guys, at some point, you just have to start winning now. You need players who can play now. Am I asking too much?
Because no, I don't think so at all. I don't think so at all. And yesterday when we talked about those Evan Petzold mock trades, and you're getting someone possibly like Connor Norby, that's in the Jack Flaherty trade. I'm not talking about the Tarik Skubal trade, that you would get the Connor Norby in return along with Enrique Bradfield. Well, Norby's already hit 16 home runs in the minor leagues this year. He's had a couple stints in the majors this year. But yes, I want that. If we can get something like that, David, over a comp pick? Yeah, yes.
You got to get something. And in a perfect world, you could flip Flaherty and pick up either a shortstop or a first baseman or a third baseman, somebody that can help this team in the future, because you're the first baseman that you thought was going to be your guy, I hate to say it, I don't think you're going to see him back in the majors.
And that's why Connor Norby excites me, if we can get him, because you could put him at second, Colt Keith at first.
Yeah.
Spencer Torkelson is done.
I don't want to put a fork in somebody's career.
I just did.
Because he's still young. He can still turn it around. But when you're struggling hitting fastballs, not curves, that you're not a major league player. And then you go down to Toledo. Okay, this is the chance to redeem yourself. Knock the cover off the ball. And you still can't do anything. And that was your one of one. That was the top pick. That was one of your core pieces, Scott. And he's not doing too well.
And that was always my thing with sending him down was, well, if he hits down there, he's still got to come up here and prove it. But he hasn't even.
He can't even hit down there.
He can't do it down there.
No, I mean, when you get a choice to bring somebody up and Akil Badu is hopping in his car and driving up past you, you got some issues. You got some problems. You may need to get some things worked out and fixed. 248-539-9797. Tigers, do they hold pat? Do they just make a push and say, F it, let's just try to see where we could go? Basically what they did last year. Or Scott Harris step up to the plate and make his first big move. 248-539-9797. We'll get to your phone calls next. 97.1. We like to do a little football every hour. Why? Because the season is almost here. Big Ten Media Days wrapping up in Indianapolis. David, give me a little college football music. I got something for you and Kenny. Yeah, we're going to do a little change. Instead of you asking me questions, Kenny, you want to come in here? I got something for you guys. Why? Because it's college football season. And it kind of goes to what Mike said yesterday. The pressure is on. NIL packages are there. The money's being spent. Boosters, they want winning. Okay? And if you don't get it, you're going to be fired. Well, guess what? BetOnline AG already has a list of the top 18 coaches that they think will be the first to get fired. So let's have some fun. 18 coaches out there. Let's see how many you guys can get before I give you all of them.
David?
18 coaches.
There's some big names on here, too.
I'm going to go with...
Hold on. And just for the record, I'm going to try to give you the... Like, Clark Leah from Vandy. You probably weren't going to name him, so I'm going to give you him. Okay?
Yeah, give us the ones that are absolutely... Are Kalani, there any no names that it
Kalani
wouldn't be
Kalani Sitake from BYU. You probably don't know him. I'm going to let that one go as well.
How nice of you.
Neil Brown, West Virginia.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go with him.
Scott Satterfield, Cincinnati.
Yep.
Okay? You should know these other ones.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Napier as my first guess.
You're going with Napier.
Florida.
Florida, number one.
Whoa!
Number one coach to get fired, Billy Napier, head coach of Florida, 4-1 odds to get fired, to be the first coach to be fired.
Can I do one from my conference?
Kenny?
I just gave you one from your conference.
How about another?
You can.
How about Sam Pittman, Arkansas?
Sam Pittman, Arkansas.
That's a good one.
Number two. You two are on fire. 5-1 odds, Sam Pittman of Arkansas will be the first coach to be fired.
All right. This.
There are two. Actually, I take that back. There are four big names on here.
Okay. I was going to guess you say big names. Let me go this one based on yesterday. Deshaun Foster.
Deshaun Foster just got hired.
I don't think you can hot seat the guy. He just got there.
This is based on yesterday.
He may not be a public speaker, okay? We're going to make sure you never have to do this again. As a matter of fact, we're going to have your assistant coaches do your post-game press conferences, okay? When you walk up to the podium, Coach Foster, simply say, I have nothing to say. Any questions? Let's rehearse that. I have nothing to say. Any questions? Because you can't look like you're stroking out up there.
That was bad.
That was brutal. I watched it live. Like, is he okay? Like, does he know he's on TV? Who is he looking at? What is going on? I mean, he went full Marsha Brady.
He did.
Which I'm sure Kenny has no idea what that means.
You know, this is like some weird reverse ageism going on in this room right now.
Google it.
I have another guess. You have one, Kenny, first?
No, go ahead.
Ryan Day.
Yes. Ryan Day. The Ohio State University. Ryan Day coming in at number 7 on the list of first coach to be fired. 12-1 odds. This is according to BetOnline AG. Kenneth? There's a few in your conference. There's one that screams... Me. I'll just put it like that.
I don't know what that means.
I think I know what that means.
There's one that just screams me. Actually, there's two that screams me.
Would it be Lane Kiffin?
Ooh, David with a swing and a miss. No, Lane Kiffin is not on this list.
I was only thinking because you think Ole Miss is not going to do anything. So, okay.
No, Ole Miss is Penn State. Penn State is Ole Miss. Okay? They win a ton of games, but then when they play a good team... Every time they stain the sheets.
What about the guy from Baylor? Dave Aranda.
Kenny. Way to go. Yes. Dave Aranda, 4. 7-1
That's good.
Odds.
That's good right there.
Come on, guys. I've given you.
PJ Fleck.
No, that's Mike.
I hate that guy.
Why? Because he dresses weird and he's weird?
No, it's just a weird family thing.
No, you know what? He's insulated in Minnesota. He's not going anywhere because he's made Minnesota relevant. No, PJ Fleck, not on the list. Think high profile and just doesn't win games. And his son is on the cover.
Oh, Coach Prime.
I wasn't thinking he would be on there to get fired.
First coach to be fired.
I didn't think so either.
He's left. What? He's at 18 at 50-1 odds.
I don't think he should be on this list.
I didn't think he would be on that list. No.
He absolutely should be on this list.
I'll say this, Kenny. He should be on the list, but I don't think they have the balls to fire him.
I don't think he's had enough time yet. I don't put him on the list. And I'm one of his bigger critics. I don't know.
Put it this way. Another 4-5 win season, and I think Colorado with all the distractions that you get with him, see, that's just it. You're not just losing, but you're drawing attention to the losing. You got Netflix, streaming series about you. You may need to win some games, okay?
I have a guess.
Yeah.
What about Pat Narduzzi, Pitt?
Pat Narduzzi, 12-1 tied with
that's good.
Ryan Day. I don't understand how he hasn't been fired yet. Okay, the Nard dog, I liked him when he was at Michigan State, but let's face it.
It's just not working there, yeah.
He had one good year. When I look at him and I see is, 7-5, 7-6 year, mediocre. But for some reason, Pitt has just fallen under the radar and he still has a job. I probably would have fired him a couple years ago.
Luke Fickell.
No, David, he just got there. And I think Wisconsin's going to allow him to fix this problem. Okay. He brought in a whole new offense. This is going to be the year I think people are going to really look to say, okay, do we want to go with this up-tempo, fast-paced, passing type of offense? Because we're Wisconsin, and all we do is just grow O-linemen and pound the rock. There's two names out here. I can't believe it.
I think I may have figured one out. What about Ohio State, Ryan Day?
I already said Ryan Day.
Oh, you did? I didn't
but
hear
you. Know what?
I'll bet. Yeah, I'll say it again because it is worth repeating.
Yeah. Guys, who is the one program that I think has been done for the last 2 years?
It can't be. Dabo Sweeney? Wow.
That I agree with.
I was not thinking that.
25-1 odds. Dabo is the first coach to be fired. Think about this. You've reached a mountaintop. Your fan base, David, you're about to experience this. Once you win a title.
Yeah, pressure.
9-3.
Yeah.
9-3, you might as well be 3-9.
Correct. You're right.
Kenny, if Georgia went 9-3 for two straight years, you're firing your coach. Right? Yeah. Why? You've hoisted the trophy. Now, MSU goes 9-3 for two straight years, and we're trying to re-sign Jonathan Smith. Oh, my God, we got something. David, Sharon Moore is about to find this out the hard way.
You're right.
There's no going backwards. You may get 1 year. But Dabo, there's another guy on here.
How about, I'm not saying Miami. Mario Cristobal.
Mario Cristobal, 6-1. He's number 3.
Miami, we're back. Oh, wait, no, we're not. I love Miami for that.
Miami.
They're always, we're back. This is the year. And then it never is.
I don't know. Between Miami and Tennessee are two programs that fell off and never gained back.
Oh, they're
back.
You just
never
hate
returned.
To see it with Tennessee.
Miami, and it's how they lose. Your coach is an idiot. Like, he finds ways to lose. All you got to do is take a knee. Nah. We're going to run the ball. No. We just take the knee. We are winning. No, let's run the ball and have our running back fumble. Give the team the other ball and they score and we lose. All right.
I have one more guess before we finish.
Yeah.
Alabama. I know we just got there and we've been saying we just got there, but he's under a tremendous amount of pressure. DeBoer.
No, Kalen DeBoer. He's got to fail first. But I But once again,
if he fails this year,
but he won't be
the
first. Come on, Kenny.
I'm the first coach
fired.
First coach fired.
Look at this Georgia, man.
I'm just saying, Bama is strong. You don't understand how big the SEC is, okay? You don't understand the pressure.
He loses a game and he walks up to the press. Hey, Coach DeBoer, you're fired.
First coach gone.
We lost one game. Yeah, that's not how we do things here.
If it's to someone embarrassing,
hey,
I could see it.
Hey, roll tide. We're going to roll your ass out of here.
All right, who are we missing, Rico?
All right, here's you missing. Billy Napier is one. Sam Pittman is two. Mario Cristobal, Dave Aranda, Clark Leah, Kalani Sitake, Ryan Day, Justin Wilcox of We like to do a little football every hour. Why? Because the season is almost here. Big Ten Media Days wrapping up in Indianapolis. David, give me a little college football music. I got something for you and Kenny. Yeah, we're going to do a little change. Instead of you asking me questions, Kenny, you want to come in here? I got something for you guys. Why? Because it's college football season. And it kind of goes to what Mike said yesterday. The pressure is on. NIL packages are there. The money's being spent. Boosters, they want winning. Okay? And if you don't get it, you're going to be fired. Well, guess what? BetOnline AG already has a list of the top 18 coaches that they think will be the first to get fired. So let's have some fun. 18 coaches out there. Let's see how many you guys can get before I give you all of them.
David?
18 coaches.
There's some big names on here, too.
I'm going to go with...
Hold on. And just for the record, I'm going to try to give you the... Like, Clark Leah from Vandy. You probably weren't going to name him, so I'm going to give you him. Okay?
Yeah, give us the ones that are absolutely... Are there any no-names that it wouldn't be for Kalani Sitake
from BYU. You probably don't know him. I'm going to let that one go as well.
How nice of you.
Neil Brown, West Virginia.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go with him.
Scott Satterfield, Cincinnati.
Yep.
Okay? You should know these other ones.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Napier as my first guess.
You're going with Napier.
Florida.
Florida, number one.
Whoa!
Number one coach to get fired, Billy Napier, head coach of Florida, 4-1 odds to get fired, to be the first coach to be fired.
Can I do one from my conference?
Kenny?
I just gave you one from your conference.
How about another?
You can.
How about Sam Pittman, Arkansas?
Sam Pittman, Arkansas.
That's a good one.
Number two. You two are on fire. 5-1 odds, Sam Pittman of Arkansas will be the first coach to be fired.
All right. This.
There are two. Actually, I take that back. There are four big names on here.
Okay. I was going to guess you say big names. Let me go this one based on yesterday. Deshaun Foster.
Deshaun Foster just got hired.
I know. I don't think you can hot seat the guy. He just got there.
This is based on yesterday.
He may not be a public speaker, okay? We're going to make sure you never have to do this again. As a matter of fact, we're going to have your assistant coaches do your post-game press conferences, okay? When you walk up to the podium, Coach Foster, simply say, I have nothing to say. Any questions? Let's rehearse that. I have nothing to say. Any questions? Because you can't look like you're stroking out up there.
That was bad.
That was brutal. I watched it live. Like, is he okay? Like, does he know he's on TV? Who is he looking at? What is going on? I mean, he went full Marsha Brady.
He did.
Which I'm sure Kenny has no idea what that means.
You know, this is like some weird reverse ageism going on in this room right now.
Google it.
I have another guess. You have one, Kenny, first?
No, go ahead.
Ryan Day.
Yes. Ryan Day. The Ohio State University. Ryan Day coming in at number 7 on the list of first coach to be fired. 12-1 odds. This is according to BetOnline AG. Kenneth? There's a few in your conference. There's one that screams... Me. I'll just put it like that.
I don't know what that means.
I think I know what that means.
There's one that just screams me. Actually, there's two that screams me.
Would it be Lane Kiffin?
Ooh, David with a swing and a miss. No, Lane Kiffin is not on this list.
I was only thinking because you think Ole Miss is not going to do anything. So, okay.
No, Ole Miss is Penn State. Penn State is Ole Miss. Okay? They win a ton of games, but then when they play a good team, every time they stain the sheets.
What about the guy from Baylor? Dave Aranda.
Kenny, way to go. Yes. Dave Aranda, 4-7-1
That's good.
Odds.
That's good right there.
Come on, guys. I've given you.
PJ Fleck.
No, that's Mike.
I hate that guy.
Why? Because he dresses weird and he's weird?
No, it's just a weird family thing.
No, you know what? He's insulated in Minnesota. He's not going anywhere because he's made Minnesota relevant. No, PJ Fleck, not on the list. Think high profile and just doesn't win games. And his son is on the cover.
Oh, Coach Prime.
I wasn't thinking he would be on there to get fired.
First coach to be fired.
I didn't think so either.
He's last. He's at 18 at 50-1 odds.
I don't think he should be on this list.
I didn't think he would be on that list. No.
He absolutely should be on this list.
I'll say this, Kenny. He should be on the list. But I don't think they have the balls to fire him.
I don't think he's had enough time yet. I don't put him on the list. And I'm one of his bigger critics. I don't know.
Put it this way. Another 4-5 win season, and I think Colorado, with all the distractions that you get with him, see, that's just it. You're not just losing, but you're drawing attention to the losing. You got Netflix, streaming series about you. That you may need to win some games, okay?
I have a guess.
Yeah.
What about Pat Narduzzi, Pitt?
Pat Narduzzi, 12-1 tied with
That's good.
Ryan Day. I don't understand how he hasn't been fired yet. Okay? The Nard dog, I liked when he was at Michigan State, but let's face it.
It's just not working there, yeah.
He had one good year. When I look at him and I see is 7-5, 7-6 year, mediocre. But for some reason, Pitt has just fallen under the radar, and he still has a job. I probably would have fired him a couple years ago.
Luke Fickle.
No, David, he just got there, and I think Wisconsin's going to allow him to fix this problem. Okay, he brought in a whole new offense. This is going to be the year I think people are going to really look to say, okay, do we want to go with this up-tempo, fast-paced, passing type of offense? Because we're Wisconsin, and all we do is just grow O-linemen and pound the rock. There's two names out here. I can't believe it.
I think I may have figured one out. What about Ohio State, Ryan Day?
I already said Ryan Day.
Oh, you did? I didn't
hear you.
But
you know what?
I'll say it again because it's worth repeating.
Yeah. Guys, who is the one program that I think has been done for the last 2 years?
It can't be. Dabo Sweeney? Wow.
That I agree with. That
I was not thinking that.
25-1 odds. Dabo is the first coach to be fired. Think about this. You've reached a mountaintop. Your fan base, David, you're about to experience this. Once you win a title,
yeah, pressure.
9-3.
Yeah.
9-3, you might as well be 3-9.
Correct. You're right.
Kenny, if Georgia went 9-3 for two straight years, you're firing your coach. Right? Yeah. Why? You've hoisted the trophy. Now, on the MSU goes 9-3 for two straight years, and we're trying to re-sign Jonathan Smith. Oh my God, we got something, David. Sharon Moore is about to find this out the hard way.
You're right.
There's no going backwards. You may get 1 year, but Dabo, there's another guy on here.
How about, I'm not saying Miami. Mario Cristobal.
Mario Cristobal, 6-1. He's 3.
Miami, we're back. Oh, wait, no, we're not. I love Miami for that.
Miami.
They're always, this is the year, and then it never is.
I don't know between Miami and Tennessee are two programs that fell off and never gained back.
You just hate to see it with Tennessee.
Miami, and it's It's how they lose. Your coach is an idiot. Like, he finds ways to all you got to do is take a knee. Nah. We're going to run the ball. No, no, no. We just take the knee. We're winning. We are winning. No, let's run the ball and have our running back fumble, give the team the other ball, and they score, and we lose. All right.
I have one more guess before we finish.
Yeah.
Alabama. I know we just got there, and we've been saying we just got there, but he's under a tremendous amount of pressure. DeBoer.
No, Kalen DeBoer. He's got to fail first. But once again.
If he fails this year,
but he won't be the first. Come on, Kenny.
I'm
the
first coach
fired.
First coach fired.
Georgia, man.
The hate for Bama is strong. You don't understand how big the SEC is, okay? You don't understand the pressure.
He loses a game and he walks up to the press. Hey, Coach DeBoer, you're fired.
First coach gone.
We lost one game. Yeah, that's not how we do things here.
If it's to someone embarrassing, hey, I could see it.
Hey, Roll Tide. We're going to roll your ass out of here.
All right, who are we missing, Rico?
All right, here's you missing. Billy Napier is one. Sam Pittman is two. Mario Cristobal, Dave Aranda, Clark Leah, Kalani Sitake, Ryan Day, Justin Wilcox of Cal, Pat Narduzzi, Pittsburgh, Scott Satterfield, Cincinnati, Neil Brown, West Virginia, Shane Beamer, South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Tony Elliott, Virginia.
That's okay. Yeah.
I'm really shocked you guys didn't get this one. Mike Locksley, Maryland. Yeah.
Thank you. I just had to look at him.
Dabo Swinney, Clemson, Lincoln Riley.
Whoa.
USC.
The change to the Big Ten, and he's lost a lot. Quarterback, yeah, okay.
And the guy who replaced Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma.
So they did put Brent Venables. Did he get an extension, though?
Doesn't matter, man. Okay, it's Oklahoma.
That's why I didn't choose him.
They got oil money in Oklahoma, too. Yeah, we always think Texas. Oklahoma's got money.
I was just thinking because they extended him. No.
No, they'll pay him not to coach there. That's 100% what will happen.
And then to round it off, Deion Sanders of Colorado. That is your list of the first head coach to be fired this college offseason, 97-1. Hey, before we get to the ticket text, we were talking about Scott Harris. I got to give Brad Holmes some props. Because draft day, well, around the NFL draft, we kind of suspected that he was going to lock up all of his younger players. We thought it was going to be all three. I think it was St. Brown, then it was Sewell, and then we were waiting for Goff. Goff came a few weeks later. You locked everybody up. And I said at the time for Goff, his contract was not going to seem that bad. What is he getting? Like, is he getting close to 50 a year?
Close to 50. It didn't hit 50.
Yeah. Before we get to the ticket text, David, I just read this, and it's just funny. I wish Mike was here. But sometimes it's just good to be the next guy. Everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen with Dak. Everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
According to ESPN's Bill Barnwell, you know how much Brock Purdy is about to get for an extension?
Don't tell me 60.
He's about to get a five-year extension, $325 million. $65 million a year.
Oh, yeah. My Lord.
Once again, this is why I kept saying, just go ahead and lock up Goff now, because that, for everybody who complains, trust me when I say, now that $48 million doesn't look that bad, because he's about to make 60, and you still haven't gotten to Jordan Love yet, who I think, and that he's going to break the bank until C.J. Stroud, who may be the first $70 million quarterback a year.
Yeah, you're right. And I just looked again. I was wrong. Goff is 53.
Okay, so 53.
But still, that's going to be.
Goff at 53. Brock Purdy is estimated to be $65 million a year. That's what they think he's going to get in that extension. So, yeah. David, a couple ticket texts.
Couple ticket texts here. Surprised Brian Kelly, LSU, wasn't on the list. They fire Coach O a year after winning the Natty. From Jason.
You know what, Jason? I think they fired Coach O because they never wanted Coach O. Coach O kept winning out of spite, and they couldn't fire a man who just won the national title. You got to wait till the next year. Then you can fire him. But as he's winning it, You can't be that hateful. You just have to spite watch. But, yeah, Coach O was never looked at as the solution.
Yeah, they're like, they'll take the result, but in the end, you're going to be gone
right.
soon.
It's like if all of a sudden Rich Rodriguez had won at Michigan, but you're still going to get fired.
Oh,
but,
correct. The minute we can do it, yeah, we're going to do it.
John L. Smith, the original Jonathan Smith, you're a clown, but if you happen to win, we'll take it, but you're still a clown.
Correct. Satterfield isn't going anywhere. That is Corey in Cincinnati. And then someone's asking Kenny, your conference, isn't it the Horizon League?
Oh.
Why are you calling the Horizon League a conference? It's more like a children's
it
playground.
It is a conference, Kenny.
Okay.
Your conference champion won a tournament game.
That's a real loose definition of the word conference.
It won a tournament game.
You did win a tournament game. And then I have this one coming in. This is not college related, but it just came through. Can a local beat writer with a spine ask the Lions PR team why they thought it was a good idea to do a promo with a notorious racist today?
They're talking about the Hulk Hogan thing. Do we have that in the system?
I do have it in the system.
Okay. So Hulk Hogan is hawking some beer in the city of Detroit. He was in the studio. He was on with Gator yesterday, an impromptu interview. He's all around, photo shoots. Everybody wants to be with the Hulkster. He's also the same guy that was at the Republican National Convention. He's become a polarizing figure. How he doesn't like his daughter dating certain types of people. Hulk Hogan showed up at Lions training camp today. Yeah, and then after that, you hear Campbell saying, hey, appreciate you. Thanks for coming out. It wasn't just the video. It was like that. It was the comments after, David. Some people were just like, oh, that's cool. It's Hulk Hogan. Some people lost their stuff. It was like, are you kidding me? People are saying, hey, I lost respect for Dan Campbell.
And it's the first comment I see here.
How dare you bring this person out to camp? He doesn't belong there. It's weird. Have we just gotten to the point where politics is taking the fun out of everything? It used to be that sports was exempt. Sports was just something that you really didn't care about race. You didn't care about religion. The only colors you cared about was your team's colors. And you just wanted to beat the other colors of the other uniform. But the players were homogenized. They were all the same. But now, the amount of vitriol and backlash that Dan Campbell and the Lions are receiving from this, it just got me to wonder, has sports it used to be that sports was untouchable. But is politics that strong now that everything is now political? I mean, we did the drops tournament. And because
where is it? Nope, that wasn't it. That wasn't it.
David, where's the black jobs?
That one was criticized.
That one was criticized because according to...
I'm sorry, that's Kenny's. I'm sorry.
Oh, here it is.
Black jobs didn't win, okay? But we vetoed and got what up, Doe, to stay in there. And people got triggered and just start sending all types of stuff. I can't believe this, liberal that. Liberal. I was like, guys, it's a drop tournament. What are we doing? What is going on here? Has politics really, has it become that important that we can't even enjoy sports? We can't have fun anymore? That has everything become political? Yeah, screw it. 248-539-9797. Has everything become so political and politically charged? I know it's an election year, but have we lost the ability to just have fun? Like, do the Lions owe people an apology because they had Hulk Hogan out at training camp? Have we reached that point in our society where we just can't have fun anymore? We just can't enjoy a moment. We can't look at somebody because, look, here's the thing. Am I saying he's the greatest person in the world? No. But you know what? Still listen to Michael Jackson records. Okay? I still watch old Cosby shows. Okay? I still love, you know, the usual suspects with Kevin Spacey.
Ben Roethlisberger was my quarterback.
Right. Have we lost it to the point now where the Lions are getting roasted because they had Hulk Hogan at camp? Is this where we are right now as a society where politics is king? It used to be the NFL. Or is it now politics? 248-539-9797. Hey, before we get to the ticket text, we were talking about Scott Harris. I got to give Brad Holmes some props. Because draft day, around the NFL draft, we kind of suspected that he was going to lock up all of his younger players. We thought it was going to be all three. I think it was St. Brown, then it was Sewell, and then we were waiting for Goff. Goff came a few weeks later. You locked everybody up. And I said at the time for Goff, his contract was not going to seem that bad. What is he getting? Like, is he getting close to 50 a year?
Close to 50. It didn't hit 50.
Yeah. Before we get to the ticket text, David, I just read this and it's just funny. I wish Mike was here. But sometimes it's just good to be the next guy. Everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen with Dak. Everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
According to ESPN's Bill Barnwell, you know how much Brock Purdy is about to get for an extension?
Don't tell me 60.
He's about to get a five-year extension, $325 million, $65 million a year.
Oh, yeah. My Lord.
Once again, this is why I kept saying, just go ahead and lock up Goff now. Because that, for everybody who complains, trust me when I say, now that $48 million doesn't look that bad because he's about to make 60, and you still haven't gotten to Jordan Love yet, who I think, and that he's going to break the bank until C.J. Stroud, who may be the first $70 million quarterback a year.
Yeah, you're right, and I just looked again. I was wrong. Goff is 53.
Okay, so 53.
But still, that's going to be
Goff at 53. Brock Purdy is estimated to be $65 million a year. That's what they think he's going to get in that extension. So, yeah. David, a couple ticket texts.
Couple ticket texts here. Surprised Brian Kelly LSU wasn't on the list. They fire Coach O a year after winning the Natty. From Jason.
You know what, Jason? I think they fired Coach O because they never wanted Coach O. Coach O kept winning out of spite, and they couldn't fire a man who just won the national title. You got to wait till the next year. Then you can fire him. But as he's winning it, you can't be that hateful. You just have to spite watch. But, yeah, Coach O was never looked at as the solution.
Yeah, they're like, they'll take the result. But in the end, you're going to be gone soon.
It's like if all of a sudden Rich Rodriguez had won at Michigan. But you're still going to get fired.
Oh,
but,
correct. The minute we can do it, we're going to do it.
John L. Smith, the original Jonathan Smith. You're a clown, but if you happen to win, we'll take it, but you're still a clown.
Correct. Satterfield isn't going anywhere. That is Corey in Cincinnati. And then someone's asking Kenny, your conference, isn't it the Horizon League?
Oh,
that's why are you calling the Horizon League a conference? It's more like a children's
playground.
It
is a conference, Kenny.
Okay.
Your conference champion won a tournament game.
That's a real loose definition of the word conference.
Won a tournament game.
You did win a tournament game. And then I have this one coming in. This is not college related, but it just came through. Can a local beat writer with a spine ask the Lions PR team why they thought it was a good idea to do a promo with a notorious racist today?
They're talking about the Hulk Hogan thing. Do we have that in the system?
I do have it in the system.
Okay. So Hulk Hogan is hawking some beer in the city of Detroit. He was in the studio. He was on with Gator yesterday, an impromptu interview. He's all around, photo shoots. Everybody wants to be with the Hulkster. He's also the same guy that was at the Republican National Convention. He's become a polarizing figure. How he doesn't like his daughter dating certain types of people. Hulk Hogan showed up at Lions training camp today. Yeah, and then after that, you hear Campbell saying, hey, appreciate you. Thanks for coming out. It wasn't just the video. It was like that. It was the comments after, David. People Some people were just like, oh, that's cool, it's Hulk Hogan. Some people lost their stuff and was like, are you kidding me? People are saying, hey, I lost respect for Dan Campbell.
And it's the first comment I see here.
How dare you bring this person out to camp? He doesn't belong there. It's weird. Have we just gotten to the point where politics is taking the fun out of everything? It used to be that sports was exempt. Sports was just something that you really didn't care about race. You didn't care about religion. The only colors you cared about was your team's colors. And you just wanted to beat the other colors of the other uniform. But the players were homogenized. They were all the same. But now, the amount of vitriol and backlash that Dan Campbell and the Lions are receiving from this, it just got me to wonder, has sports just, it used to be that sports was untouchable, but is politics that strong now that everything is now political? I mean, we did the drops tournament, and because,
where is it? Nope, that wasn't it. That wasn't it.
David, where's the black jobs?
That one was criticized.
That one was criticized because according to...
I'm sorry, that's Kenny's. I'm sorry.
Oh, here it is.
Black jobs didn't win, okay? But we vetoed and got what up, doe, to stay in there. And people got triggered and just start sending all types of stuff. I can't believe this. Liberal that. Liberal. I was like, guys, it's a drop tournament. What are we doing? What is going on here? Has politics really, has it become that important that we can't even enjoy sports? We can't have fun anymore? That has everything become political? Yeah, screw it. 248-539-9797. Has everything become so political and politically charged? I know it's an election year, but have we lost the ability to just have fun? Like, do the Lions owe people an apology because they had Hulk Hogan out at training camp? Have we reached that point in our society where we just can't have fun anymore? We just can't enjoy a moment. We can't look at somebody because, look, here's the thing. Am I saying he's the greatest person in the world? No. But you know what? Still listen to Michael Jackson records, okay? I still watch old Cosby shows, okay? I still love, you know, The Usual Suspects with Kevin Spacey.
Ben Roethlisberger was my quarterback.
Right. Have we lost it to the point now where the Lions are getting roasted because they had Hulk Hogan at camp? Is this where we are right now as a society where politics is king? It used to be the NFL. Or is it now politics? 248-539-9797.